Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Want more Gators Breakdown? Join Gators Breakdown Plus. Starting at $3 a month. Get access to unique episodes, plus a blog, chat room, giveaways, shout-outs, and more. Gators Breakdown Plus is furthering the interaction with fans and listeners like you. Head to GatorsBreakdown.supportingcast.fm to join Gators Breakdown Plus today. Gators Breakdown. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
This is a chance for you guys to hop in and talk some football. We'll talk some recruiting as well. I know hot topic after yesterday and commitment there, Tyree Patterson. We'll let that hijack this. Mostly about spring practice, but yeah, we won't go without talking a little bit of recruiting. Would have anyway, of course, with all the visits happening over the last few weeks. Still a lot of good word. I know we all want the commits to start rolling in. You know, it looks like we'll have to just be patient for the summer. A lot of the top targets out there for Florida already mentioned. You know, it'll be summertime before they make decisions. So all I can say is just some patience. There'll be plenty of time to critique, plenty of time to praise. It'll be one way or the other. You know, not everything's black and white. There's a lot of gray in between. Not every situation's the same. You know, trying to compare to last staff and all that. You know, that was a coach that was, you know, after four seasons. I'm talking about a coach in 4 months. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. But we'll start there, and then we'll move along to spring practice, hop in. Anytime you guys want to, Tyree Patterson, three-star from Eustis, Florida, commits to the Gators on Easter Sunday. Go and get his stats here. I had to pull it up, but scroll right past it when I started the space there. 53 passes, 1,078 yards, 13 touchdowns in 10 games for Patterson last year. Three stars, I mentioned. And, of course, you know, recently took part in a camp, ESPN 300 Elite underclassmen camp, where he, Sports Illustrated, named him one of the 12 prospects who impressed at the camp. So, hopefully, you know, starts camping more. And if you talk to Corey Bender, Blake, and all those guys, they expect him to rise through the camp circuit if he's, you know, going to be camping some more. I know there's another camp coming up as well. But what Sports Illustrated had to say Patterson, great build at nearly 6'3", 180 pounds, consistent route running to pair with a long stride. Patterson caught attention early on and only improved on the opinion thereafter. The build is reminiscent of a wing in basketball. Yes, he plays hoops for Eustis High as well. But the polish reflected a prospect who appears all in one sport. Position coach and former NFL star Chris Chambers, like the Sports Illustrated staff, was surprised to learn Patterson had not reached a Power 5 level. on his scholarship offer list to date, especially after a 2021 season, which he averaged better than 20 yards per catch, broke the 1,000-yard barrier for 13 touchdowns in 10 games. Of course, here Liberty, UMass, North Texas had offered, while Florida State, Marshall, others have shown interest. That's where a lot of the talk comes in. Not a high offer list. Florida gets in early. Florida offers early. He commits to Florida. We'll still have to see how this wide receiver breaks out for Florida. Plenty of high-profile targets left there. And I know the talk will come, why accept this one this early? Well, I mean, I think there's one way to look at it if you want to put some orange and blue glasses on it, if you want to put some positive spin on it, even with the prospects out there going ahead and offering him and accepting his commitment. Maybe they're just, the staff is that impressed right here with Patterson this early on. Billy Napier coached wide receivers at Alabama, recruited very well at that position at Alabama. Kerry Colbert comes in with a pretty good reputation from USC there. But, I think the way we'll look at this, we'll have to see who Florida adds else in this room there. I know Creed Whittemore is a name that's going to be tied into this. Tyler Williams, of course, another big-time prospect that we'll start looking out for him. Aiden Mazzell. As well, the burner there. We'll see. Eugene Wilson, I think, great shape for another high-profile recruited wide receiver position. So we'll want to see Florida fill out DeQuavis Story as well, decommitted from Georgia, connection to the staff as well. So plenty of top targets left. We'll have to see how Florida fills out this wide receiver room before I think we get too critical one way or the other for this pickup here. Good for the kid there, state Florida kid, probably a dream to go play at Florida. I get the hesitation. I get everything. All I can scream is just patience. It is different. I think the process is different behind the scenes. We all know that. It will have to pay off. Just because it's different doesn't mean it will pay off. We will have to see results, but still April. Will Miles does a really good job of detailing. You can really start gauging the progress of a class, and we need to let the summer play out. That's just all I can say right now. I know I'm not going to change a lot of your mind. I'm not really trying to change your mind. I'm just telling you how I'll approach it, how I'll be patient just a bit here. This all these top targets, Florida's in really good shape for. Until they start committing to Georgia, until they start committing to Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, all these other schools, if that happens, then I think we can the optimism can fade a little bit, and we can start questioning and criticize a little bit. But until that moment, I'll be patient. I like the approach. Hopefully the different approach pays off. I like what I'm hearing behind the scenes. That will have to come to fruition. I don't mind being patient just a bit here. With the targets Florida has left on the board, how it all's coming together behind the scenes, it will have to pay off. It will have to pay off. But I would just say I'll have some patience, but we can have the conversation. We can have the conversation. All right, and then spring ball, spring game Thursday night. Look, over 300 prospects in attendance for that. I think a lot of us got what we wanted to see out of Anthony Richardson. I know a lot of people when spring practice started wanted to make this a quarterback battle. If you guys have listened to me, pretty much, I didn't think it was going to be much of one. Most of you out there didn't either, and it kind of played out that way. I think Anthony Richardson was the guy from the get-go, from the start, played out that way through spring. It just played out that way when the lights on Thursday night as well. So, of course, is the biggest takeaway. I think we have to take away from that. Billy Napier not really coming out and naming a starter. I don't think he really has to at this point. I think we see where that's heading. I think it's a good thing for Florida. I think there's some clarity there at the position for quarterback. And I think the approach by Anthony Richardson, the performance by Anthony Richardson could put some confidence in what we wanted to see out of this offense as we leave spring practice and get all the positive mojo from some quarterback play there as well. Really liking Montrell Johnson coming in, and I think kind of living up to a reputation as, you know, being a pretty good player for Louisiana last year, pretty good player in the Sun Belt. A lot of people were wondering if that would translate maybe to some SEC play. And, you know, we'll get that answer in the fall. But first example we got, I think he passed it there pretty well, playing for both teams there Thursday night in the spring game, being able to I think put it together with that size, be able to display that Thursday night. He looks like an SEC back to me. I mean, it fits right in to what I think we want to see at the running back position there for Florida. Too bad Lingard got banged up a bit Thursday night. We didn't get to see everything we had heard about him all spring long, being able to show his ability out there on the field. And then we've been waiting ever since he signed for Florida to get him on the field and get his chance. And we thought Thursday night was just going to be that chance to get there and see him. And then we saw him early on, and unfortunately didn't get to see him play out there on Thursday night. And then, you know, Bowman, I think we saw some flashes, saw the maybe a little bit of potential, saw the speed there, need some more consistency, maybe some more patience by him running behind this this offensive line, this kind of scheme, what Billy Napier's looking for from his running backs. Too bad he put the ball on the ground, but, man, it'd be tough not to in that situation. Tyreek Sapp barreling down on you right after the handoff and, you know, just gets plastered there and unable to hang on to the ball. So, I know, you know, that one was kind of tough. You know, ask a running back to kind of maybe hang on to that top. I mean, it was a good play by Sapp, more so than a bad play by Bowman. I think when you go back and look at it. So we need some more playmakers up front on defense, and you kind of shift away looking at that one. And I know we talked about this on the podcast. We kind of talked about it the last 2 days on social media, but looking at Tyreek Sapp and what he was able to do, highly profile, rated, recruited kid coming in. And he was probably one player, I think, going throughout spring practice, I probably got asked about the most because of that recruiting profile. You look at, you know, you start looking at Florida's roster and who should be the best players. And I think the reason his name kept coming up is because, look, we know Florida needs help up front. And, hey, we're not really hearing a whole lot through all these practice reports. And, you know, granted, it's limited. It's limited in what we see or what we got to see at practices. So his name just kept coming up because you expect with that recruiting profile to be a guy that you can count on. And I thought we saw it Thursday night. So I know mostly second team reps there against the second team offense led by Jack Miller at quarterback. But all you can do is produce when you're out there and given the situation. So if anything, a depth piece for Florida, but probably I think it set himself up for some starting reps to get in there and go out there and produce along that defensive end. You know, along there with Eamon Mielen, it gives Florida probably a pretty good 1-2 combo right there at that defensive end position there for the Gators. So, quick spring takeaways game there. Of course, episode of Gators Breakdown is out there with Will Miles and I. We recorded it Friday morning. And looking at what happened Thursday night. So some rewatching happened over the weekend. I'm trying to enjoy Easter a bit too as well. Quick rewatch last night. I was, you know, going back and looking at just the amount of RPO early on from Anthony Richardson at that quarterback spot. It was going to be pretty much a big staple of this offense. Of course, a staple of a lot of modern offenses out there is that RPO. But it was put out there on display a lot Thursday night from Anthony Richardson. And another reason why he's the guy, just the zip that he was able to show on a lot of those passes Thursday night. There's going to be some tight windows out there that they have to throw into these quarterbacks. And I think it's where his arm strength just really makes the difference of being able to fit in there, fit those balls in there with tight coverage and stuff. And good thing there was tight coverage. I mean, I think we wanted to see from this DB group as well. Were there too many yards? Probably, or more yards than we probably expected by the offense, more points put up by the offense versus that first team defense Thursday night. Yeah, but I think you start looking at what you can take away from the defense. Not a lot of big plays given up, some tight coverage there in the secondary. Looked like they were on the same page for the most part. we didn't see a whole lot of lost confusion. I think the most open I remember seeing a player while the catch was made was Zip's big play. Jack Miller, all day to throw. Zip comes over the middle and really in no man's land, nobody around him. And he had a big game there. But for the most part, it was those little tie-in sneak-out routes from Keeter and Zanders. As far as the receivers go and versus the DBs, hopefully I know a lot of people will kind of point to the wide receivers not being able to get separation, and there's probably some truth in that as well. That's why I think we'll see Florida try and hit the transfer portal for some more speed at the position. They move Finley Graham to the position just to try and get some more speed out there on the field. But also, I think it was good to see these DBs right there on the hips of these receivers, limiting yards after the catch so much from the receivers. Not from the tight end position. I think it was some good scheming there and in this offense to get some yards after the catch from the tight end position, since it wasn't there from the wide receiver position. Those plays are kind of designed for that as well. So we'll see. I do think that is a pretty good takeaway, I think, we could take from this defense is the DBs being in position, being in coverage, tight coverage there for the most part. All right. Most time I do these spaces in the morning time. So thanks for you guys for hopping in. Go ahead. Get in here. Can discuss a few topics, whatever you guys want to discuss here. All right, let's see. What's up, KB?
Hey, man. So,
not much, man.
Hey, so I got a question, right? I know everybody is really focused on us hitting the portal for a lot of players. I know everybody will be. How do you feel, or who do you feel incoming freshman-wise may be poised to, get in early or, get the opportunity to play early?
That's a good question. As far as you mentioned, transfer portal certainly going to be a spot for Florida to hit. But also, with a lack of production in some spots, you may start looking towards true freshmen as well to come in and make that impact more so than transfers. We saw Kamari Wilson out there a good bit. Took used to seeing a different player wear number 5 out there for this Florida defense. I think, with Dean Torrance there at safety, I think those are your two guys there. Wilson, I think, will get a chance. He was a top 50 player last year. I think he certainly, with his athleticism, probably deserves a chance to be out there in the field. Now, he was limited this spring as well, so maybe fall camp is kind of where he makes his big jump, but they put him out there Thursday night, and I think we could tell at times he was a true freshman. I want to go back and look more at him as well, since he was limited in the spring, and that's the biggest action we got to see him in was Thursday night in that spring game. So I think go back and look at it. Probably one player I think we can maybe point to look at. But for me, I think it starts just because he was on campus taking part in spring practice, Chris McClellan, just because of what Florida needs at frontal defense. As much help as they need up there, he has the size. You come and look at him, and his recruiting profile, 6'3", 295. But I think with as much help as Florida needs, we didn't see Jervon Dexter Thursday night just kind of completely dominate. It was something it was an up and down night for him. Something I was looking for when I previewed the spring game last week is what would Jervon Dexter be able to do. I wanted to see some domination. Had a better started the second half off pretty well. Had a good second half, more so compared to the first half. And the whole defense, I think can kind of be questioned for their performance in the first half of Thursday night, but Dexter put together a pretty good second half. I know I saw him get banged up a little bit too toward the end of the first half. So maybe hopefully being a little cautious there. But McClellan, I think, is with him going through spring practice and getting used to college football as an early enrollee. I think that's somebody that Florida, if you know, of course, it's up to him as well. But it being a position in need, I think Florida's going to hit that defensive line, that defensive tackle, middle of that defensive line, hard in the transfer portal. And, you know, we kind of saw where Florida is at with, what's his name, Jackson, the transfer from Maryland. I think Florida's in good shape for him. So you started asking about the transfer portal and trying to relate it to true freshmen. We're also thinking if we're going to bring up the transfer portal and I bring up McClellan, I think we kind of have to bring up Jackson as well there from Maryland, where Florida's probably in pretty good shape there to land his commitment. He was in town for a visit late last week. Florida did, I think, pressed all the right buttons there. So we'll have to see how that one comes out. But just because he went through spring practice, I think Chris McClellan's probably where I have to start. We'll see with Shamar James, of course, the big-time linebacker there from Florida. Get him in this fall, see what he can kind of – I mean, Florida still needs more true linebacker. It wasn't a recruited position well, you know, trying to still fit some guys there. Didn't start recruiting true linebackers, high-profile linebackers, till later in Dan Mullen's tenure. There was Scooby Williams and now Shamar James. So I think, you know, it's an instinctual position. And I like what Ventrell Miller brings to the table. DeJuan Black had a nice spring, but there's still something to be said for guys who played the position in high school. And you're not having to fit guys there. So Shamar James could, you know, those instincts come about. And he is a playmaker at the linebacker position. He shows that early on. Just because of who Florida has, and not a lot of true guys at that position, somebody I can see coming in as well. One more I'll throw, you know, Trevor Etienne. I think we still see Florida needs, you know, for Thursday night, we didn't see a lot of explosion at the running back position, even with Bowman back there. Still not a lot of big yard carries for Florida. You know, where they look for ETN to maybe provide some of that. Not necessarily known as the big play, big burner type there, but Naquan Wright coming off of injury. Wingard, we wanted to see more Thursday night. They still have a pretty deep running back room, but can a true freshman come in? You know, you see true freshman running backs all the time come in and make plays for teams. So I think ETN, looking at him too, some contributor there from him. But, you know, I'm kind of looking at the top of the class, guys that I think can come in with living up to that 4 or 5-star status, coming in and making contributions right away.
Cool. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Blank check, Billy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I was just the biggest takeaway that I came away with from the spring game was I was just wondering why you think Keon Zipper wasn't running with the first team offense. Because to me, he's got the experience. I think he's been a really good run blocker throughout his career. And I also think he's got all the tools to be big in the receiving game. And I don't got anything against Zanders, but I don't think he's the guy over Zipper personally.
Yeah, that is a good point. I did want to say something myself when we did get the roster. I don't think it signifies that he's not the number one tight end. I do think they try to keep the number one offense mostly together. I still think he is a number one guy. I don't know why they decided to put him on second team. Maybe it was to give Miller somewhat of a better arsenal for his offense. But I mean, look at it was the first team offensive line. It was the first team quarterback. The receivers, there are all the receivers that we expect to be the starting receivers were there with the blue offense. But I was kind of taken by surprise that Zipper was the on the other team, because I wanted to see more two tight end sets with him as well. You know, whether it be him and Zanders or him and Keeter, what we could possibly glean from that, you know, 12 personnel set. But they put him on the other offense, and we saw the one big play that I mentioned where, you know, Miller had all day to throw, finds him over the middle. So nice route run there by him to get open there. So yeah, I don't think it signifies. I do agree with you. I do think he is still the number one tight end when we get to fall camp. We'll see where Elksness and Odom are and their recoveries and how much they come in there into the fray. I do think what Thursday night proved is Florida found some depth there. I still think as long as Elsis and Odom are healthy, that they probably still top two behind Zipper or along with Zipper. But Xander's Keeter, I think, showed some nice depth pieces for the tight end position, and I'll keep going back to it. If you haven't listened to some of the past episodes, it helps Florida a bit where they don't have to force those freshmen into playing snaps when they come in the fall. Of course, you want to go get their summer and fall camp reps, but now with Florida finding those two guys throughout spring practice and having good performances Thursday night in the spring game, you don't have to force Bordingham out there. You don't have to force Livingston out there. You don't have to force Hansen out there. You can let those guys develop. You can let those guys not get thrown out there before they're ready and maybe get a little gunshot at the same time, adjusting to SEC football. So that was my biggest takeaway from the tight end position. I still do think Zipper is number one. I still think Odom Elksness are going to be the guys along with him when fall camp starts. But good for Florida. Good for Napier. Luckily, Xanders had some experience at the position, so it wasn't hard to go find somebody to go fill that role throughout spring practice. But I do think they got more out of him than they originally thought.
He played better than I expected. He looked more natural at tight end than he did when he was playing D end.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the big takeaway from the open portions of practice too, is that it looked natural for him, and it looked natural for him Thursday night. It didn't look out of place.
But I think Keon's the guy. I was just wondering if maybe it was some off-field stuff going on, like that was keeping him from running with the first team. But I honestly think, not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly think Zipper's maybe one of our best offensive weapons going into next year with the way our receiver room is looking right now. He's one of the best guys we got on offense, I think.
Yeah, and especially when Pigler talked about when they want to run 12 personnel, they want to be able to squeeze it in, and they want to be able to spread it out. And I do think Zipper is probably one of those best options for that to happen. I think if Florida's going to go in and go out with that 12 personnel, I think Zipper is a huge part of that.
All right, appreciate the insight, Dave.
Thanks, man.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Unique, what's up, man? OT Hill, Unique, I had you in here too.
Yeah. What's up, Dave?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Listen, are we sure that's the full orange team, orange defense, number ones, blue, what was it, blue offense, number one, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly that. Now there were some, like, I think the linebacker position you probably could have pick and choose who you're going to have as starters there, because I think if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to pull it up in just a second. But I think DeJuan Black was on the blue.
I was finna say because of that blue defense, man. I think I'll take that one over the orange one. I'm just.
Well, like, let's remember that we're going to get some second team offense too. So.
Yeah, I get it. They were flying around though, man. It was just like,
You keep going back to it. DeJuan Black had the nice play, but Kimber and Jordan Young, I think, man, that secondary. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Like, I don't know if they're the second team or not, but.
Yeah, I know. That's the beauty of a spring game. It's hard to know what to take away. I think we can take away just by who was out there for certain teams. Now, it was mostly first team versus first team and second team versus second team. But I do think there were bits and pieces that, of course, are and what you want are pretty flexible there of guys that all right, yeah, they're second team in the spring game, but they might be first team when it's all said and done.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering. I was like, some people might need to switch, but I didn't know if that was. I remember Nate Pierce saying in the press conference, he was speaking on somebody, and he was like, yeah, he's good. He made the blue team, right? And that's why, when he said that, I was like, uh-oh. So that had me thinking, okay. But, I guess that it looked good for the future, man, because I like the young guys, man. I still see some of the old traits in some of the older guys.
That's a good point. You know your tradings, your Amari Burnies, your Ventrell
Miller. Yeah, that's the two I was thinking of.
Your guys that we'll have to see more of. The defense, I don't think, was aggressive. What we'll see in the regular season, of course. They did blitz some. I do think the blitzes were kind of caught off and all that good jazz and stuff. You look at that. Games are mostly set up that way. You don't want to sit there and maybe have some unnecessary hits from your quarterback. So the aggressiveness is kind of taken down a bit. But I still was surprised that first team offense had as much success as they did. Hopefully that's a good step forward and an indication of what we can expect from Anthony Richardson in the offense a little bit. But I still, if you would, of course, ask me before the game, I thought that first team defense probably would have showed up a little bit better in that first half than they did.
Right. Who is 26? I can't remember.
Was that Kimber?
Because Kimber is on. He's blue team. He was this one here. They if you go back and look, they picked on him. The Jamarcus Weston touchdown. Same one when he missed the tackle, he bumped him high.
Oh, that was
Wilcox. Like that whole drive, 26 just got picked on.
That was Wilcoxon, I believe.
Okay. Okay, he's young, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's just now starting to play his football. But that's exactly what you didn't see for that first touchdown. A missed tackle, guy not even really trying to wrap up there for the first, given what we've seen from the tackle. But overall for the night, I thought the tackling and the pursuit was much better, much higher than what we've seen. Of course, it's just the spring game performance, and we'll hopefully that can play out. But for our first eyes on this team to see some things that we wanted to see be better for that defense, besides that one play, I thought the tackling, the pursuit, some gang tackling was much better than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it looked better. I like Weston, man. I think it might be one Mullen did. That's one of the truths, I guess.
Once he did that, when he dropped the ball in the end zone versus Alabama last year, we didn't see a whole lot of him after that. So maybe a little too critical at that moment. We didn't see much of him as much as we saw the first few games of the season. But the last half was high on him, but didn't play him after that mistake. So we'll see what this can get out of him. But we saw him in special teams the other night. We saw him catch that first touchdown as well. So good for him to get back into good graces a little bit right there on the spring game.
Yeah, all right. One more thing. Anything on Burt? He's been kind of quiet lately, man. Burke. Is it Marcus?
Oh, Marcus Burke. Okay, yeah, the receiver. Yeah, okay, I was.
He's been laying low lately.
Yeah, there was some talk that we might. I thought we might see more of him Thursday night because he was banged up a little. From what he got banged up a little. From what I was told. Thursday. That's why he didn't get to play as much Thursday night. We'll see when that one comes out. Somebody did share with me that he was injured Thursday night, so that's why he wasn't out there. We did see, I think the Tuesday practice before the spring game, he was out there running routes and stuff, but I believe he got injured after the open portion, and they were probably doing 11-on-11 after the media left. So apparently he got banged up. That's why he did it. That's why he didn't play Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, Dave. Go Gators, man.
Go Gators, man.
Yeah.
OT, man, you in here? All right, Ridge.
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, man.
How are you? Pretty good. And I just wanted to challenge the I forgot who said it, but he was saying that he wanted Zipper to start at tight end this year. I disagree 1,000% with that. Now, the size is there. The potential is there. But for Zipper still looks like he's learning the position. And for Xanders to come out, a guy that's changing from the defensive side of the ball over to tight end and look that natural compared to how Zip looked, that's an issue. And I'll say this as well. Even coming out of high school, Zip got his ranking off of camps. Throughout his career at Lakeland, the production was not there. So there's no evidence for this guy to be saying that Zip should start. I love Zip. The potential is there. He has not tapped into his potential yet. He does not need to start. He has done nothing to even prove that.
Yeah, there's ways to look at it. I think Napier will use multiple tight ends. So, you know, when there's a 12 personnel, is, you know, he's one of the guys out there in that 12 personnel. I think he is, especially right now going through spring. He was the only tight end to be able to go through all of spring practice. So hopefully, as you said, you know, if there's a playbook or all that, hopefully he's taking a part in all that.
The fact that he still looks like
being the only tight end.
Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The fact that he still looks like he's learning the position, I think he might be in a little bit more trouble when Arliss Boardingham gets to camp in fall and gets to learn that playbook. I think Zip could possibly fall to being a third tight end.
Yeah, we'll see. I have no idea. I know the staff likes him. As I said, may have a leg up going being the tight end who went through all the spring practice. They had a good play there Thursday night. And as I said, I wanted to see him with the first team. But I still don't think it was any indication of where he's at on the depth chart. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't think it was an indication of maybe Xander's passing him there. You know, good for Xander's for that really good performance there. I mean, I thought we saw good from the whole tight end position there. Still early on with this whole thing, and you know, if that's what you're seeing, man, yeah, then if that holds weight and is true, I hope you know, it is a tight end that we can count on. Because I mean, I think right now there are, you know, 3-4 guys I think that we can feel comfortable with throwing out there, but
the fact that we have Boardingham coming in with Tony Livingston, do you think we dip into the portal for another tight end? I think that would be another indictment on Zipper's development if we have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you see that, then I think you could start questioning that. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it'd be a position they go after because of what happened in spring and being able to find Xanders and Keeter. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, make it out that those guys are all SEC top players or, you know, maybe even starting over Odom and Elksness, but I do think they provide us some nice depth pieces that should make it where Florida doesn't go into the portal and have to force Boardingham and Livingston if they don't want to. Now, if those guys come in and prove that, you know, They prove that they need to be on the field because of their playmaking ability. I think if we do see those guys out there, there would be some confidence out there that they went and proved it. You know, that they passed Keeter, that they passed Xanders, that they passed Zipper in some form or fashion. If we do see those guys out there, I think it's a good sign because I do think what we saw and how spring played out, that Florida does have some depth there. So if those guys come in and deserve and prove they need to be on the field, then I think it's a good sign that they are on the field.
Well, I appreciate the insight, Dave. I just wanted to make that comment about Zip because I'm one of his biggest fans, and I've been disappointed in his development, especially with how Billy G. I know a lot of guys didn't like Billy G, and a lot of guys don't even think that he had a hand in Kyle Pitts' development, which he did 100%. And for Zip, you know, not to tap in his potential yet, it is aggravating, and I just kind of want to comment on that. That's all.
All right, man. Thanks, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Gators all day. I think that's it.
Do you think we have any shot in receiving any word for a guy Hall from Alabama, or do you think it's a done deal with Texas?
I think the SEC transfer rule probably sets that one up to where it's not ideal, likely, for Florida. If there was some back channel way that we know he could get cleared and play this fall, then I do think they would. He'd listen. I do think, you know, maybe hopefully the roots into Texas and that conversation. I mean, because he knows Sark as well from popular recruiting and Sark's time at Alabama as well. That there's probably some relationship there already. But that SEC rule right now is kind of hurting Florida for some of these SEC transfers and other SEC schools, but, you know, for that matter. Maybe the SEC would readdress that and change that date. But I do think that SEC rule is hurting Florida for some of these SEC transfers.
That makes perfect sense. I appreciate it. And just one more question in your mind, because I know that's the slot position is one that we are looking to obviously fill either in the transfer portal or whatnot. In your mind, do you see a potential target out there that we would go after?
I haven't kept up with the transfer portal too much. I think some of it for me is let this spring play out for other schools and guys maybe not liking where they're at right now. As far as that goes, you know, maybe more names end up in the transfer portal for that. I'm trying to pull it up right here. I mean, none jump off the page right away, of course. But, I mean, yeah, it's certainly a position I think Florida goes and looks at.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate everything you do. And when I was at the spring game, I loved the atmosphere, the vibe in Gainesville. Definitely even felt different. And I think Billy Napier's got a bright future in Gainesville. Thanks for all you do, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, I was surprised Thursday night. There were more people there than I thought there would be. I just thought that's not a shot at Gator Nation or anything like that. It was just – thought the Thursday night move kind of – well, halfway throughout spring practice, kind of late notice that it would, you know, hurt the crowd more than it actually did. There were more people there than I thought there would be. The atmosphere was pretty good. You know, kind of the fire and fireworks entrance there for both of the teams coming out of both of the tunnels there, I think, you know, and as the recruits in a, at least for the spring game, in a different position to watch the game more on the alumni side where they were. But well, look, first of all, they kind of had to do something because there were so many of them there, over 300 recruits. So they put them in the roped off alumni side. They put the former players where the recruits usually sit there. I thought the atmosphere for a Thursday night kind of – I still call it late notice a bit, moving the game there. I thought the atmosphere was pretty good. A lot of the students were in attendance. You know, they could have – left as soon as classes were over on Thursday and decided to go home, but they didn't. I thought the pretty good student attendance as well. You know, one of the reasons Billy Napier moved it, the main reason, of course, we all know, was because of recruiting and getting some guys there that maybe had gone to Georgia, maybe going to Alabama, South Carolina, some of the other spring games going around on Saturday. But, you know, Florida, I think it paid off as far as getting the recruits in attendance. Hopefully down the road it pays off as far as commitments go. But I thought the atmosphere, the attendance from the crowd was pretty good Thursday, more so than I thought it would be. A couple more. Oh, there we go. Jet, I thought we had some trouble connecting there.
Who are you? Hello. Who are you?
Oh, took care of that one. Yeah, we know what you get in these spaces sometimes. I don't know what that was all about. Right, a few more minutes here. Everybody hopping in, talking about whatever you want. Billy Napier will be here in Jacksonville Thursday. So I'll have another episode of Gators Breakdown probably Thursday night after Napier's spring speaking tour here in Jacksonville on Thursday. It'll be at the stadium, where Florida and Georgia play every year at TIA Bank. So it'll be fun to get to talk to Napier a week after the spring game. Get his thoughts on that. Y'all hopefully get to ask a few questions, and they'll be going through a lot of films. And one thing to ask if nobody else does is what the film showed, of course, throughout the last week. There'll be a lot more deep dive into what he can go into, something he wasn't able to do Thursday night right after the game, of course. So we'll see if there's any more to glean a week after the spring game there from Billy Napier. So should be a whole lot of good content coming your way there. All right, Jack Gator, what's up? All right.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you, Jay.
No, my bad. I guess it had me on mute. I was just wondering about, I don't know if you already covered the guy who committed yesterday, but, I mean, how you feel about that. I know we want the high-profile commits, but, I mean, it's okay with taking a guy that's a developmental player. I mean, Kadarius Toney was a 3-star, and look, he ended up being a first-round pick, so I'm not really tripping about 1 3-star committing.
Yeah, I'm not right now. I did talk about it earlier. As far as that goes, too, you know, look, yes, I'm a Stars Matter guy. Like, it's not rocket science that, you know, on a macro level, you know, you got to have 4-star, 5-stars. But as you kind of pointed out there, you know, this is not an excuse maker or anything. At a micro level, I don't know what 3-star is going to turn out to be, you know, 4-star, 5-star talent when it's all said and done. Nobody knows that. Nobody can tell that. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. But yes, I mean, when we're looking at this class in late December, when we're looking at this class in February, does it need to have the 4 stars and 5 stars? Absolutely. And if it doesn't, I'll criticize and critique. I'll critique and criticize along the way. As I said earlier, this summer will be big. This summer will be big for Florida. And until your Kamani McLean's and your Harris and your Webbs and all those guys start committing to other schools, I don't see the worry right now. I don't see the concern. If some of those top targets start going to other schools, then by all means, you got all the right in the world to start criticizing and wondering the direction of recruiting. But until then, I screen patience. I'll share patience. That'd be my approach. It doesn't have to be yours. I get it. Look, I got slammed way too many times for critiquing Dan Mullen's recruiting along the way, but you know, there were just things behind the scenes that got on my nerves about the approach and why I didn't have confidence in it. And that's why I shared my thoughts on it so much. You know, I mean, for this, I mean, I'm not worried. Everything behind the scenes to me is being done the right way. It will have to pay off in the end. Until I see it not pay off, I'm taking a wait and see approach.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
What's up, Dave? It's Gator Quez. I think the lines got crossed.
What's up, Quez? Well,
what's up, buddy? Happy Easter, Dave.
I'm gonna have to wait to get you in, man, because it can go a long time. So I want to get some other people in.
No problem.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. I thought you were gonna switch me out.
Yeah.
First, guys, happy Easter, everybody, to Gator Nation. Hope everyone had a great weekend with family and friends. Two things I wanted to talk to Dave about. First was the recruit. Don't get me wrong, I'm kind of like in the same boat with you with the patience for sure. You know, you have over 317 recruits out there at the Swamp, and we only get a 3-star. Listen, I'm excited. Hopefully this kid after camping, he's going to rise and stuff like that. I'm optimistic. But, I, you know, of course, I'm sure besides me, a lot of us were hoping maybe a 4-star would have committed or a 5-star. But again, well, patience and development.
Before you go there, don't get me wrong. I mean, it would be better to have those guys right now than not. It's just until they start going somewhere else, you know, that's where I'll wait a little bit.
I agree. I agree 100%, Dave. Just like as a point of note, like Peyton Kirkland right now, a 4-star Orlando native offensive lineman, he's today at Miami. So he's the type of guy, person that he's lauded and talked a lot of positive stuff about us. He's a guy that would, you know, devastate us if he would commit to Miami, considering he's an Orlando native and he's called, you know, Florida home and things like that. So I agree with you 100%. What I wanted to talk to you about, Dave, is overall the spring game for me. I've always told people, like, don't get me wrong, I watch it and stuff like that, but I've always wait and see. Because a lot of times in the past, a lot of players have shined in the spring game, and then when the lights come on, it's deer in headlights. You know, Jeff Driscoll and other people. Long story short, I'm a little concerned in regards to the D linemen, especially the D tackles. Don't get me wrong, Gervin Dexter is going to get double teamed. I liked what I saw from Tyreek Sapp, but I just don't know if we have the depth. Do you think we're going to have to hit the transfer portal for that?
Oh, for sure. For sure. As I said, Daryl Jack, the transfer from Maryland, Florida, hit the right buttons there. I'd look for him to make a decision soon about his decision. He'll make some other visits, I think, is what it looks like. But from everything I can tell, you know, he's pretty much said Florida's in the lead right now. That's one name in the transfer portal I think we can feel pretty good about right now. Position of need. I mean, I agree with you. The defensive line. It was. If you go back and we'll preview before spring practice even started. It was my biggest worry on the team, and it's still my biggest worry on the team. So, you know, getting Daryl Jackson while he's out there in the transfer portal, it is a must to go out there and get him. Also a must to go out there and recruit the position well. And you know, we'll see how. I do think some more development needs to happen for the guys that are currently on the roster. I don't think, you know, Daryl Jackson is going to be this plug and play instant fix. You know, Florida's still going to have to develop the guys that they have on the roster. So that'll be up to the staff a bit. You know, it won't be totally their fault. They didn't recruit these guys. You hope they can develop those guys, but you know, it's going to have to be fixed through the transfer portal. Have to be fixed upcoming through recruiting as well.
For sure, Dave. I agree with you 100%. And like I mentioned, I definitely am on the Billy Napier bandwagon and definitely have the patience. Again, I just hope that the results, considering the amount of money that we're putting into recruiting, is not equivalent to the Mullen regime, if you know what I mean. So if you're putting more money in, more resources, there should be more results in recruits. Yep. And things like that. So definitely go Gators. Thank you for everything you do, Dave. And I hope everyone has a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Quez.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. There we go. About to plan that. We've got a couple more minutes. If anybody else wants to jump in here. Thanks for everybody else here. As I said, there will be usually with those Napier. We even had a speaking tour in forever from the head, you know, because of the pandemic and all that and all that stuff there. So I'll be taking, you know, a lot of the sound bites and editing them all together Thursday night. So the episode might come out pretty late Thursday night. When I hope to see some of you there. A lot of you in Jacksonville who will be going to the Billy Napier speaking engagement on Thursday night at the stadium. So it'll be a whole lot of fun. If you're there, make sure you stop by, say hello. Thanks to everybody who did at the spring game on Thursday. But that episode will probably be out, you know, late Thursday, Friday morning, or so as I get to put together a lot of good sound interviews there from Billy Napier. And then I'll kind of report on what he had to say when he speaks to all the fans that are in attendance there. And it's a pretty cool event at the stadium. I remember the one they had for Mullen, Mullen's first season in 2018. It was a pretty cool setting there at the stadium, with the stadium in the background and all the graphics and stuff there. So, KB, I see you raising your hand. Let me – there we go. Yep.
Hey, and I don't know if we talked about this today or another one. just for fun, how do you feel about the claim for the black uniform? You know, officially, he announced that it will be a thing. And I know it's a lot of mixed feelings. The traditionalists love the, you know, traditional uniform, and then the new age guys, you know, we love the black. So how do you feel about it?
I'm a fan of it, honestly. I like wearing, and look, and I've come around on that probably in the last, probably 3-4 years. I used to not be a fan of black Gator gear, but I've come around on it. I've started wearing it more myself. So, I don't know why, maybe taste change a little bit there, but, I'm mostly when it comes to college football in general and Florida football in general too. But look, I'm a fan of the white helmets. A lot of people don't like those. So I like the white helmet and the slanted speed F on the side of the helmet. So, you know, I'm different in that regard too when it comes to traditionalists. But yeah, I'm a big fan of black uniforms if done right. You know, I don't want a color swap of just making blue black or orange black or something like that. If they're going to do black jerseys or, you know, black helmets and all that kind of stuff to go along with it, I want a complete, you know, new design. Make it unique. Don't just switch out blue for black and call it done. It might look good, but yeah, I'd want something kind of just completely different. And what I'm looking for right there, you know, Billy Napier he wore black a lot at Louisiana, and then Harfka, I think we've seen all the time at Florida so far the black dominant hoodie out there that everybody likes as well. So I think he's bringing his love for the color black up here for uniforms and merchandise and all that, and so. I think it'll fit well. But I want it done right. And I like the idea of doing the black uniforms and then auction them off and, you know, using that money to get to the military and all that. You know, at least they're, you know, doing something positive out of it as well, for his approach there. But yeah, I'm a fan of, you know, trying different things. The recruits like it. The recruits won't mind it. I was talking to Brenton Cox the other day, in the Gator Collective episode, and I asked him, this was before Napier even came out and said anything about black jerseys. But I did ask him, you know, what was his favorite uniform combination and would he be a fan of black uniforms? And surprisingly, Cox said, no, I'm a traditionalist. I like the blue jersey. I like the white pants. I like the orange helmet. So not every player is not on board with the change there. But I think, you know, you look at recruits, you talk to recruits and stuff, they like the different type of uniforms that they get to wear and stuff like that. No, that's what it'll mostly be for. It won't be for me. It won't be for you. It'll be about those 85 guys on the team and what they want to do with those, and also the, you know, the 25, 30 commits that they want to get the next cycle. That's who it's about. They'll try, you know, they don't want to tick the fan base off with so much of that stuff, but it's mostly not for us. It's for those there's players out there.
Right. I agree 100%.
Thanks, KB.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. That'll do it. Thanks, man. That'll do it right here for this space. Everybody, thanks for joining in. I'll try and do more of these, of course. As news will slow down a bit, of course, with spring practice coming to an end. About a month away, I guess it'll be preseason magazine season. Start looking at what a lot of those preseason publications think about Florida, whether they'll have Florida ranked. If they'll have Florida ranked, that'll be a big storyline. Who will they have second behind Georgia in the East? That'll be a storyline as well. I think Tennessee will be getting a whole lot of love. South Carolina's getting some love out there as well with Spencer Rattler coming in at the quarterback position. So I think there'll be a lot to take away as far as just discussing what others think about Florida. Some are still high on Florida because of a roster that's, you know, while not elite talent, still some talent on the roster, and about where you can kind of peg Florida in rankings, peg Florida in the race for the SEC East. You know, we'll get those anonymous coaching thoughts that I always like to share out there as well. So about a month away from that, I guess. And then we'll head into the summer months as well. We're June. There's just some dates out there, October, before we get off here. June 30th, Trayvon Webb That's when he announces he'll make his decision. So the running back that Florida is leading, pretty much leading for. I think we can be safe and say that. From Jacksonville, Trinity Christian, Treylon Webb, June 30th announcement. Now into the summer, of course, for the July 23rd announcements of Derek LeBlanc, Malik Bryant, Peyton Kirkland. So, yeah, those are some of the reasons why I say let's just try and be patient. We're recruiting a little bit. A lot of those targets, which we knew they weren't going to make their decisions this spring. They're going to make their official visits. They're going to make their decisions in the summer, right before the season starts, before their high school season starts. Some will take that decision in December for early signing day. Most of everybody will make their decision then. You'll have some leftovers as we hit February as well. So kind of an outlook for the next couple months, of course, as well, as far as recruiting goes. So we'll have it all right here on Gators Breakdown. Of course, commitment come through, we'll discuss it. Talked about Patterson early on in this episode. So everybody, all right, thanks so much for hopping on this Spaces. I'll get it out there for everybody. If you miss some of it, the recording will be out there. You can go back and listen to it. Thank you so much. Check out Gators Breakdown later this week.